CBS Eye on the World with Patrick O'Donnell, the author of The Unknowns, the eight body bearers that greet the unknown soldier in November of 1921. It is now July of 1918, the Battle of Soissons. The man we're watching is Color Sergeant James Dell. He's field artillery, light artillery. Harry Truman was light artillery. They are using what was called the French 75, a very good weapon, 3,000 pounds, 15 rounds a minute, and they're part of an offensive launched by the French with the U.S. in support. It's the 2nd Division. Significantly here, I learn why they're unknown soldiers. It's because of the shelling, the heavy shelling. What happens to men when they're hit by those shells, Patrick?
John, the 75 is light artillery, but many of the guns in the Great War are massive artillery rounds. They could crater the battlefield like a moonscape. Craters the size that could bury a nice single family home. They were that large. Just imagine the devastation that those shells wrought, and they wrought on the human body. They vaporize it in many cases. And this is the reason why there are, tragically unknown soldiers in World War I.
Yes, they did not have what we understand today to be a way of tracing people's identities with DNA. What they could do is have witnesses nearby to say who's that and who is that. But the unknown soldiers are legion in the graveyards in France when you go there to visit them from the First War. Many unnamed. They're unnamed in the Second War as well. It's only here in the 21st century we have details. Another battle is important. This is September 1918, and it's at sea again, the USS Mount Vernon, a mission of mercy, carrying the wounded and the gassed and the damaged and those sick with what we now know to be the pandemic called the Spanish flu, carrying them home. Charles Lee O'Connor, petty officer, and that day, he's just gone below decks, I believe, Patrick. And what happens?
John, Charles Leo O'Connor has arguably one of the dirtiest jobs in the Navy. He's a coalman or a boilerman in the bowels of the Mount Vernon, which was a repurposed German ship that was seized at the beginning of the war. And, we had a major problem in terms of transport ships. And this ship was German. It had gone into port as a neutral, and we detained everybody on board. But there was also another motive. It was laden with gold bullion, millions of dollars. So the ship was seized and repurposed and renamed the Mount Vernon. And Charles Leo O'Connor finds himself as a boiler man in the ship. And on September that day, there was a rainbow, which experienced mariners often looked at as either a good luck or a sign of a forbidding sign, an ominous sign. And that was what it was that day. It was an ominous sign because a torpedo slammed into the hull of the Mount Vernon right near the boiler of Charles Leo O'Connor, exploding that boiler, showering him with hot ash and steam and water. Millions of gallons of water rushed inside of the Mount Vernon. And it was kind of about two-thirds the size of the Titanic, to give you perspective. And it also had these watertight compartments. And what makes O'Connor so compelling is that he sort of puts aside his own safety and realizes that the watertight door to that compartment needs to be sealed. And, being scalded alive and everything else, he against all odds kind of seals that door and closes it. And as a result, many credit him with saving the Mount Vernon and his ship and all of the men on board. And that's when really the challenges for the Mount Vernon begin, though, because they've got number of threats that they've got to deal with. They've got a gaping hole in their hull, which the damage control parties immediately try to patch. And staunch the water that's coming into the ship. They have an active U-boat threat, and they man battle stations and depth charges to contend with that. And then, John, as you mentioned, they have a pandemic that is racing through the you know, each one of the levels of the ship. And they're dealing with all of these threats at once, and somehow they do it.
And the happy end is that they get home, and that's why we have the petty officer to bear the body of the unknown soldier in 1921. Now, quickly, Saunders, Corporal Thomas Saunders from Medicine Bow, Wyoming, member of the Cheyenne Nation. He's an engineer, 2nd Engineer Regiment attached to the 9th Infantry. The offensive is launched in September of 1918 at Saint-Mihiel, ordered by Pershing to throw the Americans against a quiet part of the German line. He has wire cutters. What is his job that day, Patrick? We have about 2 minutes.
John, Saunders' job is, he's in parlance of the Revolution, he was the men of the Forlorn Hope. They were the wire cutters. They were the first men to breach the wire, which was exceptionally dangerous work, so that the rest of the infantry could pass through. There were, you know, massive bales of wire that were preventing men from breaking through. So they had to gut through them with wire cutters and, in some cases, Bangalore torpedoes, explosives. And Saunders is up there up front with another man, and they cut through the wire. And what it's at Saint-Mihiel, which is a bulge in the Allied lines, in the Americans, this is their first true offensive, and they're pushing forward to remove this bulge. And they cut through that wire, they get through the lines, and they're in a position where they get deep behind German lines. And he gets into an area that is a German headquarters area that was made into, that was a, it's an old chateau.
We have 30
and,
seconds.
He and another man,
30 seconds,
move through it, and they capture scores, over 100 German prisoners single-handedly.
Right, with the Germans give up because they're, the other man's name is Wilkerson, Al Wilkerson from Ohio. With their weapons, they wander into what is chateau and capture dozens. The Germans are reeling back from the American offensive. We're telling the story of the unknown soldier brought home in 1921, and the bearers of the coffin off of the Olympia, and then over the next 2 days until the burial. Patrick O'Donnell is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.